Welcome to the Five Stone Podcast. This is BJ Stagner. I invite you to join us weekly as we focus on encouraging words and thoughts to improve your day, conquer your giants, and build your faith through the Word of God, all wrapped up in a 5 to 7 minute message. Thank you today for joining us for today's edition of the Five Stones Podcast and our devotional today. We are looking forward to being together one with another. We're going to be at Acts chapter 11 here in just a moment. I'm going to have a quick word of prayer, and then we are going to get started here today with our Bible study this morning. So let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done, for who and what you are, for the many blessings that you've given each and every one of us. We thank you for this opportunity to have this this devotion and this time together, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We were on a FaithRx call the other day on Sunday night, and one of the co-founders of FaithRx, Jen Kozelman, lives in Colorado, great man, tremendous man, was on there, and he just made a brief little comment that really stuck to my heart when we were talking about sharing the Word of God with people. And one of the young men on our call was asking a particular question about how to share Scripture with people and how far to go. And Jim just kind of threw this thought out there, and he just said, You got to just go back to the source. Go back to the source. And it really stuck with my heart. And many of us shared several different things concerning what to do and how to witness to someone and when to go as far as you want to go or not go and again, that's always a struggle for everyone when you're trying to witness to someone, especially someone close to you, someone near and dear to your heart. Guys, I know it's difficult at times, but those few words it said, just go back to the source, go back to the Bible. What a blessing that was to my heart and to my mind. And it really kind of spawned today's and Thursday's podcast and our devotions here for Sharon Chapel and our podcast for Five Stones. And we're sending this out on different formats. And so I want us to think about what we believe and where do we get it from? So consider our source, if you will. What do you believe? What do I believe? What do we believe? How do we share our faith? How do we share our belief? How do we hold on to the things that are near and dear to our heart? And where do we establish that foundation? We know that Jesus Christ gives beautiful illustrations on a rock solid foundation, or a man. He gives a parable about a man being building his house on a solid foundation compared to one who built his on a sandy foundation. And when the storms came and they beat it down, and great was the fall of it when it was built on a weak foundation. Whereas when it's built on a solid foundation, the storms came, the troubles happen, problems are experienced, and yet his home remained. It stayed solid. And so that's where we are. What are our beliefs? What are our fundamental beliefs? And before you turn it off and say, whoa, he said the word fundamental, guys, we need to get past that little offense of being of when you hear the word fundamental. The word fundamental just means basis. You wouldn't be living without the fundamentals of life: oxygen, blood flow, et cetera, food, water, things like that. That's all fundamental means. Fundamentalism does not mean radicalism. Being a fundamentalist doesn't mean that you're an extremist. It just means you believe in the basis of something. For American football players, the fundamentals of American football is blocking and tackling. The fundamentals for for baseball is hitting and catching. Everything that goes on in between is all part of the game. It's all part of everything. But you got to get back to the basics. And where do we get that from? We get it from a source, and our source has to be pure and perfect. And guys, that's going to be the Word of God. So we believe in the Trinity. Yeah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe they are one. They are yet three in one, and they are all fully God. We believe in the absolute inspiration, inerrancy, and infallibility of the Holy Scriptures. If you don't believe that today, then there is a problem. There's a problem with your belief. There has to be a problem with your faith, because if you can't put your unwavering, unfeigned faith in a holy scripture, when I mean holy, I mean H-O-L-Y, not W-H-O, we're talking, there is no holes in the Word of God that I have before me right here today. It's perfect. We believe in the incarnation, the virgin birth, sinless life of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ for our salvation. Where do we get that? We get it from our source. The personal salvation of those who believe their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the reality of the second coming of Christ. We believe in heaven and hell, and we believe in all of these fundamental truths and these doctrines that are taught in the Word of God. we hold these truths as our fundamental basis of belief as a Christian, where do we establish these facts? Where do we establish such a solid mindset? Well, turn in your Bible, if you will, to Acts chapter 11. Acts in chapter 11. And I want to show you something here. I'm just going to go over a small portion today. It won't take a whole lot of time. But Acts chapter 11, begin in verse 21. Verse 21. And as you know, this is the first Gentile church. This is a church called in Antioch, okay? So, Acts chapter 11, verse 21, the Bible says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." Now, just to catch you up to date, Saul, who is Paul, was saved now for 13 years, and he had spent the last 10 years in his home area of Tarsus. He was a man of Cilicia, and so he was there, and that's another message for another time. Verse 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." I'm going to stop there just for a brief second. We will read the rest of the chapter, but by the end of this 14th, by the end of this year teaching, this is the 14th year of the Apostle Paul's salvation. And so it was in Antioch. The word Christian only shows up in the Bible three times, two times in the book of Acts, and then Peter mentions it in his epistles. And he says, if you suffer as a Christian, Paul was told, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian by the ruler." And yet here, the first time it shows up, it says the disciples were called Christians. It didn't say that they became Christians and then disciples, but it says they were disciples were called Christians. In verse 27, it says, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the whole world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Now, here's what I want us to think about. For an entire year, Barnabas and Saul are teaching the church the Word of God. They're not teaching the New Testament. That hadn't even been written now. But they're teaching the Word of God. At some point in time, when the people of this church were first called Christians, they were called Christians because of what they were taught as a result of what they were living. They didn't have Paul's epistles. They didn't have the Gospels. What they did have was the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. They had the Old Testament. They had the Word of God. They had the source, my friend, and his life on this earth and the words that Jesus left him. Did you know that the Old Testament contains 60 major prophecies, 270 ramifications about the Messiah? Jesus fulfilled every one of these predictions. The probability of Jesus fulfilling merely 8 of the 60 major prophecies that we find in the Old Testament is 1 in 100 billion. To put these odds in perspective, guys, I want you to imagine that, the entire island of the United Kingdom, our entire, England, Scotland, and Wales, okay? I want you to think about that size right there, okay? We could throw Northern Ireland in there, but it may throw my numbers off just a little bit. But I want you to think about that. If our entire British Isle was covered with silver dollars, all right, with a silver dollar piece, okay, all right, it would be two feet deep, and it would be 2 feet deep with one of them marked on top, and one of them marked. And all of those out of all of those silver dollars, in order for one person who's blindfolded to reach down and pick up that marked coin, just by at one try, that's the probability of Jesus fulfilling all of those prophecies. Is our the entire. Entire land of Great Britain covered in silver dollars 2 feet deep. silver coins 2 feet deep and one marked. And a man that was blindfolded reached down and picked up that marked one on his first try. That's the probability of that. It's an amazing truth that happens. So there's a few examples that we find the life of Christ that he leaves as a testimony to us. And Peter mentions that in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm just going to read it to you. And I got a handful of verses that I want you to turn to here in just a little bit. But we won't be long today. 1 Peter 2 verse 18 through 25 says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." What does that tell us right there? That tells us that we should be subject to our masters, subject to our employers, you know, those that are above us, not only the ones that are good, not only the ones that benefit us, but even the ones that are froward, that are kind of, you know, not nice, that, you know, that they're not, they don't speak to us all that well. Verse 19 says, "For this is a thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, that ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who is his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishops of your, and returning to the shepherd and bishop of your soul." That's Jesus Christ it's referring to. So we're looking at the life of Christ, the testimony of Jesus that we have with that Paul and Barnabas would have taught in Antioch for this 1 year. And the result of that was them adhering to that life, living that servant life, living that sacrificial life. We see Paul write about it in Philippians chapter 4 in verses 8 and 9. He says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So guys, we look at how we should live our life, maybe how we should share the gospel, how we should be a witness to people, how we should have exercise our faith in this life. It's going to start with how we live our life. It's going to begin with what we do in our days and what we do in the life that we're living here and now. That's what it's going to begin with. It's going to begin with you and I taking a step back as a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ and living the life that God would have us to live for him. How are we going to do that? We're going to go back to the source. And that is the Word of God. That is our Bible. So Paul tells us to think on the things that, whatever things may be true, whatever things may be, if there be any virtue, he says, think on these things. But he says, do. The things that you've seen and heard in him, he says, do. So we go back to Acts chapter 11, and we're going to close it down here. And again, this is a three-part lesson for this week, guys. Today is part one. Thursday will be part two. Then Saturday morning at 7:30 will be part three. So in Acts chapter 11, again, we go back here to verse 26. "And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." Now watch these last words. I know I iterated them before. I'm going to do it again. "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." A disciple, guys, comes from the same derivative as discipline. It means a follower. It means a diligent learner of a particular thing. Now we know the disciples of Christ believed on Jesus Christ. We know we've already seen up here in the previous verses that people had turned to the Lord. Verse 21 says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Barnabas went down there to check everything out. In verse 23, it says, "And when he came, he had seen the grace of God." Grace is unmerited favor with God. And we are saved by grace through faith. Okay, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. All right. And he says, "And was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And much people, watch this, were added unto the Lord. So what does that tell us in verses 21 through 24? It tells us that these people were already saved. These people got saved. They believed on Jesus Christ. They believed in the Word of God. Guys, they were born again. But it wasn't until, at this point in time, probably over a year, by the time Paul gets there with Barnabas, they teach a whole year. And after they were taught the ways of Christ, the life of Christ, the virtue that Paul speaks of, the things that they had seen and heard in him, and they were doing them, that's when the outside people, the outside of those from the church, that's when those from the community, that's when those in the city of Antioch, that's when they said, those are Christians or Christians. Why? Because they are living a life like Christ. Guys, that's the testimony that we find. That is where we see that what you believe and what I believe and what we should believe today is established in this world today. I'm not talking about just a simple lifestyle evangelism. Yes, we need to witness the Word of God. The Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So we have to witness the Word of God in order for a soul to be saved and born again. But I can promise you this, if you witness the Word of God and only witness the Word of God in your life, and people see that your life doesn't line up with what you're witnessing, they're not going to cry out unto Jesus Christ. These dear people of Antioch, where a beautiful revival obviously had occurred, they were called Christians, guys, because of the life they lived. Now, I'm going to close with this thought today, and I want to leave you with this. Think about this just for a second and the society we live in. We always hear this statement, they're a Christian, she's a Christian, they became a Christian. And typically, we're only referring to the fact that they've made a decision for Christ. But guys, can I tell you this, that the decision you make for Jesus Christ, that doesn't give you the title of Christian. According to the life of Paul, according to the Word of God, according to the source that we must go to exercise and exhibit our faith in a world today, what gives you the title of Christian is the life that you live built on top of having Jesus Christ in you. Again, look at the scripture. They clave unto the Lord. Verse 24, much people were added unto the Lord. That is saved and born again. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why? Because of they adhered to what Paul and what Barnabas had taught for an entire year. And we see it in the rest of the chapter. We see it in the testimony of the chapter when you find that these certain prophets came down from Jerusalem, begin to prophesy of a great dearth, a great famine. There were 5 worldwide famines under Claudius Caesar alone. And this was one of them. And when that famine was to happen, these disciples, these Christians, assembled together all kinds of help for their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem. Now, it wasn't just money. It wasn't just a money donation. Matter of fact, Josephus, the historian, writes that it was a caravan load of every man gave as he was able to give. Some gave water, clothing. Some gave food and animals and whatever it may have been. But a caravan that was taken to the believers, the Christians, if you will, in Jerusalem, to the church at Jerusalem, to help them out. So what we find, guys, here is that our life and our title of Christian is not only established by the decision we make for the Lord Jesus Christ, but that title for Christian is established by the life that we live for Him, by Him, and most importantly, through Him. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 5-Stone Podcast. This is BJ Stagner. Let me encourage you to subscribe to our podcast and follow us each week for new and exciting messages.